The Business on RTE Radio 1, sponsored by AIB. We see brave and we're backing it through Brexit.
Well, sticking with America, this weekend marks the 60th anniversary of the American-Irish Chamber of Commerce. So as Ireland emerged from the 1950s, how did this organisation come about? Mark Redmond, Chief Executive of the Irish-American Chamber of Commerce, joins me now. Mark, you're very welcome.
Thanks, Richard.
We're going back to 60 years ago, Ireland, early 1960s, Ireland was a changing place. Sean Lamass, T.K. Whittaker. What was that environment in which this organisation emerged?
Yeah, great question. So we're actually, this is the day 60 years ago we were founded, Richard. So what Ireland was like was a completely different country. And in the 10 years from 51 to 61, 408,000 people emigrated from Ireland. Our population in 61 was 2.9 million. And to put that in context, in 1840, before the famine, our population was 6.3 million. The average wage in Ireland then, €10,000, only just over 1 million people had employment. But here's the thing, we exported our bright young people to the world, but we had turned our back on the world for four decades. We were protectionist, we were tariff driven, and our economy, quite frankly, was going down the tubes.
And it was very dependent on the British market as well, and there are all sorts of reverberations of that today. But at some point they decided, one obvious place to look is America. What did the Americans make of us and what we had to offer?
Yeah, two great things happened, right? The first one was very bright public servants, and we're very grateful to our public service, said to the government at the time, if we don't change our economic model, we may as well hand the keys back to London. So as you said, T.K. Whittaker and other public servants developed this blueprint, a programme for economic development. And Sean Lamass was the driver politically of that happening. The other very important thing that happened, Richard, and I think it's almost extraordinary, that the second president-elect of the United States, who self-identifies as Irish-American, Joe Biden, will be inaugurated 60 years to the day that JFK was inaugurated. I think JFK's inauguration was a huge enabler of a different type of Irish-US relationship. Now, to be frank with you, the ambassador at the time, Ambassador McLeod, at the first meeting on 9 January 61, he made a statement, actually, US manufacturers aren't really interested in Ireland up to now. We don't really see much potential, but we see some green shoots. No pun intended. And I can't help but thinking, Richard, if he knew 60 years later, Ireland would be the ninth biggest investor in the United States of America, creating over 110,000 jobs, he would have been blown away.
It's gone the other way.
Yeah.
Who were the early members? What kinds of companies that we might have heard of?
A very interesting group, and I'm afraid most of them aren't around anymore. So it's very much driven by the airlines and the shipping companies, right? So you had household names then like TWA, Pan Am. There was a US shipping company out of Cove called US Lines. Unfortunately, they're no longer with us, but get this. Radio Éireann was one of the first, was there on that day. So thanks so much for having us
back. We're alive and well.
Yes, sir.
Radio Éireann is still going.
And Aer Lingus. Aer Lingus were there too.
Aer Lingus were there too. Now, at what point the role of taxation policy is very often associated with foreign direct investment and its success here, and it's often controversial. At what point did we realise, and was it at the beginning, that we could use taxation in order to give us a competitive advantage, because we didn't have a lot of competitive advantages?
You're so right. We were literally an island off an island off the continent of Europe. We weren't a member of the European Union. It didn't exist. The only natural resource we had, Richard, was grass, quite frankly, and the talent pool we had. So Ireland realised we've got to be competitive. We've got to have a statement to the world if we want business to come here. Well, what are we offering? So one of the early decisions that was taken, well, let's offer a competitive tax environment, right? And actually, some people think Ireland has raced to the bottom on tax. In fact, we've increased our taxes over the intervening six decades. But people may have attracted attention. But what's driving it today is talent, it's innovation, it's infrastructure. But here's a really important thing. We see that in the future, inward investment won't just be about where companies want to go. It'll be where people want to live. And I think one of the important developments in the last few weeks is the UN has said Ireland is the second best country in the world from a quality of life point of view. That's actually really significant.
And these are things that will count more and more. Just finally, during the week, IDA Ireland had their annual report. Chief Executive Martin Shanahan remarked about pipeline projects because of COVID, there are fewer visits, that sort of thing. Should we be very concerned? Is that a temporary dip, do you think, that we might see in inward investment from the likes of United States companies?
First of all, incredible job at IDA, creating 20,000 jobs in 2020 in spite of COVID. Here's what's going to happen, in our opinion, when the pandemic lifts. You're going to see an unbelievable growth in inward investment and consumer demand. And you're going to see an unbelievably intense competition for inward investment. It's definitely there to be seized. Our success will be driven by how competitive we are in the areas of talent, research and development, infrastructure, connectivity.
Mark Redmond, Chief Executive of the American-Irish Chamber of Commerce, which is 60 years old today. Thank you very much for joining us.
Thanks,
on the
programme.